Child abuse and the rising number of Arizona kids in foster care has been in the headlines in our state for years now. That number is now as high as 18,000 children in Arizona's child welfare system.
But most of these children, about 70% of them, are removed from their homes because of neglect, not abuse.
So what's behind this rise? We're joined now by the show's Lauren Gilger, who's been looking into this. Good morning, Lauren.
Morning, Steve.
So are other states seeing this kind of increase?
For the most part, no. I spoke with Tom Riley about this at his office recently. He's the director of the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at ASU. And he told me that most states are actually seeing a decline in the number of kids entering foster care. But the numbers here in Arizona remain high. And I asked him what's behind this. Is it resources? Is it poverty? And here's what he had to say.
The numbers have been rising at a pretty significant rate. Part of that is, you know, everyone from a lack of child care to a lack of some basic necessities is probably contributing to the number of kids coming in the system. You know, the other factor that not only impacts Arizona, but in many cases nationally, is the role of substance use. A good portion of the number of kids that come in there, their families are dealing with some type of substance abuse issue. So the availability of programs to help addiction and help address those issues also is a complicating factor.
So, Lauren, he thinks the growing opioid epidemic in Arizona has contributed to this?
Certainly, yes. So to combat this, the Morrison Institute is actually working with the Department of Child Safety on a 3-year project to look at how other states are successfully preventing this. They released their first paper on it last month, and soon they're bringing together state agencies, child advocates, lawmakers, people who can actually make changes to look at their options. So when I sat down with Riley, I wanted to get a better idea of what neglect actually looks like and what kinds of things the state can do to help.
It can be just as devastating as abuse and takes on many forms. It could be medical neglect, emotional neglect, physical neglect. There's also components of substance use by the parents.
So when you talk about prevention, though, when you talk about what states can and can't do, what kinds of things are even on the table? Because to me, it seems like these are such big picture problems. You're talking about poverty. You're talking about substance abuse. What practical things play into there?
It can range anywhere from child care and just ensuring that the family has some basic necessities. So when we look at this type of prevention programs, you look at the availability of those in the community that the family can access. You know, when a child protective service worker actually goes out there and does an investigation, you know, they're going to side on the side of safety because they want to protect the child. But they also want to ensure that are there services in the community that they can bring to the table so the parents can better care for their child. And many times those services are limited. You know, there's been some pretty significant cutbacks on a lot of the prevention programs in Arizona since the recession. And part of that is, you know, if we're going to implement some new programs, what are those that are most effective in keeping the families together?
So you've worked in child welfare, it sounds like, most of your career.
A good portion of it, yeah, so it's definitely close to my heart.
Yeah. What kind of stories really hit you?
When you see an abused and neglected child and the tragedy around that and the impact that has on the child, and many times has long-term impact. On the flip end is that those children that we can't find safe and permanent home forms and end up aging out of the system. The numbers for these kids and the outcomes on these are really tragic. So I think it really underscores is that, you know, the goal really needs to be, if a child has to be removed, is how quickly you can find a safe and permanent home for a child. I mean, that is the goal of child welfare. It's the safety of the child, but if a child has to be removed, we know the longer a child stays in out-of-home care, the impact that has and the lifelong impact that has on a child is significant.
Right, and that becomes a cyclical issue for the next generation.
It does. They're more at risk of criminal justice activity. They're more risk for drug and alcohol issues. And many of them really struggle to make peace with their past. And if they don't make that peace and they try to move forward, they become victims.
Right. So in that way, it's like that prevention services really come full circle. It's like not taking kids out of their parents' home is a prevention service for the next generation.
Yeah. And if you look at the cost of out-of-home care and all the services, the workers and the courts and legal that goes into that, it's much cheaper to provide prevention service to keep children in their home. If you can. I mean, obviously there's cases where the child is not saved and has to be removed, but we could be preventing a lot of kids from ever removing. And then once they get in the system, it becomes very challenging to get the child back home.
this isn't just the responsibility of one department. This isn't just the responsibility of one government agency. This is a community problem, you think?
It is. And if you look, you know, when I was in the system, you know, I had this unenviable task of chairing the child death review panel. If you can think of anything more horrible than having to sit and look at child fatalities and to look at what happened, how do we prevent, what agencies have been involved. And you know, if I learned anything from my years serving on the Child Death Review Panel is that although maybe the Child Protective Service Agency wasn't involved, there were multiple other agencies, healthcare agencies, educational institutions, recreational institutions that had come in contact and had reported or had suspected or, you know, knew something wasn't right. So the earlier you can identify risks and have someone go into the home or provide services, the better we're able to protect children. And so the whole notion of states requiring mandatory reporters, which are required by law to report, they don't have to investigate, they just have to suspect that something occurs and make a report. That's why teachers are key. That's why healthcare professionals are key and clergy are key. Those in sports who can see children on an ongoing basis.
So you think we all bear that responsibility?
We all bear responsibility. Whenever I said a child died in the community, many times we like to point it at the Child Protective Service Agency, and I said shame on the community, because it is a community responsibility to care for our children.
That was Tom Riley, the director of the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at ASU. And Mark and Steve, he also told me that states have put some money into states that have put some money into prevention efforts like these that he's talking about have really seen the payoff, because a growing foster care system is not cheap.
KJZZ's Lauren Gilger. Lauren, thanks.
Thank you.